is Johnny.
Mr. Walsh, are you trying to seduce me?
You'll shoot your eye out.
Dave, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
But Brad, you don't understand. I could have been a contender.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
We can't fight here. This is the war room.
I'm afraid I can't do that, Dave.
Are you not entertained?
I drink your milkshake!
I have nipples, Brad. Can you milk me?
Forget it, Dave. It's Chinatown. To the Sucks Podcast. That's right. We are talking about movies today. And here with me, we have the good, the bad, and the ugly. We will let you decide on who is who. I'm your host, Brad.
And I am Dave.
And with us, as always, is Producer Joe.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
So we're talking about movies, Brad? I was really hoping to get a milkshake.
Gosh, it's a little early. For our users, it is about 6 o'clock in the morning. This is now the earliest that we've ever recorded.
Ridiculous.
This.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. This is how much we love you. It's Sunday morning at 6 o'clock, and we are here talking about design, intentional and otherwise, and all the ways that UX,
user experience design,
impact us every day. We are lovers.
Sweet saccharine lovers.
Not experts, but we started this podcast as a way to talk about why things were made the way that they are and where those design decisions might have gone off the rails. Good early morning, fellas. How the hell are you?
Good.
You caffeinated yet?
Huh?
Yeah.
Good.
All
Good
right.
Banter.
Top Gun.
Yeah.
Did you guys see it?
We want to talk about Top Gun. I mean, we're talking about the movies. This is the biggest movie ever right now. Yeah. We saw it. Of course we saw it. We didn't see together, which is a crime.
Right.
I might
add.
You
should go see it in IMAX.
It is a perfect movie.
It is brilliant.
I swear to God, like, this should be a contender for best picture of the year, in my
what?
Opinion.
What?
Really,
That's
really
a little,
believe that.
It's a little much. Really?
Guys, this is the movies. Capital T movies.
Brad loves
Top Gun Maverick.
Tom
is why the movies exist.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true. For sure.
This is a perfect film.
The theater.
I haven't seen
experience.
Love and Thunder yet, but you know, so far, best movie so far.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. All right.
Yeah, I'm kind of bored of these Marvel movies. I mean, I think that's not a But dude, I'm losing interest. I haven't even seen them.
It's because you can only up the ante so much. It's like, okay, we're fighting a god. Now we're fighting another god. Now we're into the multiverse. Like how it goes to the point where you have to deconstruct reality to create a threat. I think what would be cool is if they lost all their powers and they were just like street fighting. that should be the next big threat.
Maybe they will. That's how they'll bring back Luke Cage and then Jessica Jones and teach them how to street fight.
You just want blood sport with Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. And it's like, and then that guy with the bow and arrow suddenly is your biggest hero.
There you go.
Hawkeye. Good God. Let's get into, we're not doing the news, as you guys all know, that we've retired the news from our format.
Right.
So we will not be talking about things like Spotify's moves into audiobooks on their quest to become the app for your ears, not just
He's doing it again.
Music. You know, of course, we did a whole episode on Spotify, and this is nothing surprising because we kind of broke down.
No, Brad, for real.
Yeah.
No news this week.
No, absolutely. We're not going to talk about it.
We're going to keep this to a short episode. We don't have time for the news, Brad, okay?
Yeah. Another example, we're not going to talk about these scientists in Japan who have developed robots that are covered in real skin.
Brad, this is not a bit.
Haven't we seen that movie before? We have seen that movie before, right?
Yeah. Brad, this is not a bit this time. We're just not doing the news.
I know we're not doing the news. That's why we're not talking about it.
Right.
In an earlier episode, I forget which one, maybe streaming services or something, I predicted that Netflix or a company like them would acquire Roku. Could be Google.
Nope. I've already cut you off. Audio editor Dave has already cut you off with a record scratch.
Well, fine. Let's take a quick break, and we will come back with the movies.
Hello, and welcome to Movie Phone.
What's a moving phone? Is that one of those rotary things? Oh, you mean like a mobile phone?
No, it's your old friend Movie Phone. If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, press 1 now.
Oh, yeah, Movie Phone. I remember you. Yeah, man, it's been a minute.
Why don't you call me anymore?
Oh, this is awkward. Well, I use other things now to get my movie tickets, see?
I'm so lonely. To find a theater near you, press 2 now.
I'm not going to press 2, Movie Phone. I use AdamTickets.com to get my movie tickets now.
The nights are cold and I sleep alone. Press 3 now.
I'm sorry about that, but AdamTickets.com is a 100% digital experience that defines movie going for the 21st century. Some of us don't like to talk on the phone, Movie Phone.
All our graves will soon become unmourned. If you'd like to hear these options again, press 4 now.
I don't know. If you wanted to hang out or something, Movie Phone, that'd be okay. Like, maybe we'll go to the movies. But I'm sorry. I'm not going to use you anymore to buy tickets. Plus, AdamTickets.com simplifies everything from finding the right movie and coordinating with friends to buying tickets, pre-ordering concessions, and even skipping all the lines at the theaters.
And we wept that one so lovely should have a life so brief.
Okay, Movie Phone. I think you need some help. I'll send you the link to AdamFilms.com. They make it easy for friends to coordinate ticket buying. We'll go see Jurassic Park and talk about it.
Fake friends are like shadows. They follow you in the sun and leave you in the dark. Press 5 now.
You are terrifying me. Anyway, Movie Phone, I hope you're going to be okay. But AdamTickets.com, it's the best way to plan your movie night. Use the code SUX. For up to 0% off your ticket order. AdamTickets.com, AdamTickets.com. And now, let's go to the movies.
And we are back with our main topic, the UX of one of our favorite things, going to the movies. Guys, woo-hoo. This is a big episode. I usually don't say that when we don't have guests, but this is a big episode. Been excited about talking about the movies with you guys on this podcast for a long time. To back it up, we all grew up in the 80s. That was like heyday for movies, in my opinion. Like every week, there's something incredible in the theaters. I mean, you've got your you know, Ghostbusters and Top Guns and Indiana Jones and some Star Wars and, you know, all this crazy stuff every week. Gremlins, I could go on and on and on. That's how I grew up, and it was a big deal. Now, I lived in a small town. And going to the movies was how I learned about anything. So movies are very important to me. How about you guys? How have the movies impacted your life?
Well, also just going back to the 80s, I think it was also the heyday of movie going experience. It was things were those big tent poles you're talking about created big cineplexes. That was like when we started seeing like multiplay, like, you know, not just the small 2 or 3 screen theater, but like 30 screen theaters and the beginning of like high-end concession stands.
The advent of the megaplexes, for sure.
Personally speaking, Joe, like, how do the movies impact you? Because you went into the movie, you went into the film business. Like, what was your experience like as a kid?
It's very similar to Brad's. I mean, you know, Terminator 2 was like my first date. I think probably all of our first dates was a movie.
How did that date go?
You know, it was fine.
Did she come back?
I think it was her idea.
Wow. Okay.
Wait. When did it come out? 91. I think I was 13 or 14.
You didn't marry this woman,
right? You know, I obviously it was a great way to connect with friends. I mean, we grew up in high school and college, like living off of movie quotes. And then, you know, if we all didn't have this like crazy idea to go to film school, we wouldn't have even known each other. So I think it's always been a big part of our lives.
Yeah. And, well, the '80s. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. We both worked in theaters. Is that part of your?
Yeah. So, okay. So movies played a big part in my life growing up. Obviously, I miss the days. I don't know if kids do this anymore, but going to the theaters and seeing a movie multiple times. Like, I remember tricking each one of my relatives into taking me to see, Return of the Jedi? And like my aunt, I told her we're going to see whatever else was playing at the time. Like, let's call it Goonies. That's probably inaccurate. But like, she's like, oh, great. I'm going to go see this. And then we get there and I go, 2 for Return of the Jedi, please. And she's like, darn it. And I mean, I saw that movie seriously, like easily like 20 times, which is absurd when you think about it now. It's rare. Like, we're talking about seeing Top Gun twice. Yeah. Right. Right. So, yeah. So then I moved into like, I was big in horror as a kid and horror was huge then. Nice. Oh, yeah. I would in school. So my schoolmates may remember I did a show and tell of like prosthetics. Like, I was big into like Fangoria. Sweet. And
yeah, man.
Who was the big prosthetics guy from
Stan
from
Winston? Rick Baker?
No. Gore guy. God, I should know this. I'll edit it in. But anyway, I cut myself, which you couldn't do in school nowadays. Like, and like blood was spurting out. I had like a squib. So I was big into that stuff. And then, like you said, the movie, like worked at the movies. So then, yeah, I worked in like a two house theater, right? Or two screen theater, which, as Joe said, like going to like the multiplex was like one of these tiny little, like, I invite you guys to the local yeah. town theater now. And it's so quaint and it's got like five screens.
Yeah.
Right. And like that was huge back in the day. Right. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, it's just like, so it's always been. And of course the 80s invented the blockbusters, you know, Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, like single-handedly, I would say.
The 70s.
Well, yeah, late 70s. Late 70s. But you can see, I mean, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, all that stuff.
They came into their age, you know, in the 80s for sure.
Yeah. So that's when we all wanted to be those guys coming into film school. But and then you get old and you discover 70s cinema was the bomb. So, anyway, what about you, Brad? How was your movie working experience?
I worked at Showcase Cinemas Springdale, which is no longer, it's not what it's called anymore. I don't know what it's called now. But yeah, I worked at a Megaplex. As soon as I got a driver's license, I started going to the movies religiously, like every week with my friends. Sometimes even alone I'd go. I remember we actually had a dollar theater, like a legit dollar theater, meaning that it cost $1 for the second run movies. And I saw Pulp Fiction there literally 10 times. You know, not to be like a stereotypical film school asshole, but it's true. I totally was and did.
So, dude, Pittman Dollar Theater. That's the first time I saw Pulp Fiction too. Also with my high school girlfriend.
I just took groups of people to go see Pulp Fiction in the Dollar Theater.
This is hilarious
for it.
Brad, if I could jump in, this is hilarious because I did that for another Quentin Tarantino movie. Okay. When I worked in that two house theater, they were playing
Reservoir Dogs.
True Romance. And I was so angry that the marketing for this was so bad and everybody thought it was they thought it was a romantic comedy or like a love movie, right? Is that a thing?
A love movie?
What do they call it? There's no comedy.
It was a meet cute?
Yeah. They thought it was a romance movie or a romantic movie.
You know what? Can I back up here? Because I'm fascinated about it. Okay, you first.
Real quick. So I did the same thing, but no one was showing up. So I would just in the middle of my shift, sit down and watch it again. So I watched that movie probably like 50 times.
You were like Clarence watching kung fu movies.
Exactly. You're so meta. So what were you going to say? Back it up.
I'm fascinated by True Romance. Of course, it's a great movie. If you rewind around that same time, maybe a couple years before True Romance came out, there was a movie called Untamed Heart, which was this like syrupy, saccharine Christian Slater romance with Marissa Tomei.
With the monkey heart. He had a monkey heart.
I don't remember. But I think that people conflated those two movies.
You know what I mean? That's a great theory.
They thought that this was that kind of movie, right? Yeah. And the marketing
Yes. And it was so upsetting because I would tell everybody I knew, you got to see this movie.
I didn't see it in theaters at all. I didn't know it existed until it was on video. And I remember I was in Marco Island, Florida. We rented it and it like blew me away.
Everyone listening, all our users, stop listening right now and then go watch True Romance and then come back. You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
So, Dave, you had a desire to keep this episode to 30 minutes.
I did. Gonna try, Brad. I can still edit.
All right. Let's get into it. We're going to look at all of the things, the good, bad, and the ugly of going to the movies. The idea that TV is coming for the movies is something that we'll talk about today. Mm-hmm. So in relation to the theater going experience, there's a lot of alternatives now. But the idea that TV is gunning for movies is nothing new. I think this started in the 50s when TV sets became ubiquitous in people's homes. And then every few years, it seems like there's always some threat to the movie-going experience.
Yep.
And movies have constantly like rolled out new things to sort of combat that. It started in the 50s with Cinerama, VistaVision, later Panavision, Smell-O-Vision, and of course 3D. And then after that, there was a little bit of a wane. And then blockbusters came out in the late 70s, early 80s with Jaws, etc. Then it felt like indie cinema was a reason that people were going to the theaters in the early 90s. And then there's 3D again. And then now we're in like franchise blockbuster territory where literally like most movies that people go to see are these huge experiences.
Wow. That was a pretty good summary.
Thanks, man. Impressed. But the point is that the movies always survive. And, you know, this might be their most existential threat now, you know, with the 1-2 punch of peak television and COVID and, you know, availability and shrunken release windows, all that stuff. But I think I am an optimist when it comes to the movie going experience. I think that there's nothing that can replace that. And I am an advocate of going to the movies, not during the pandemic, to be clear, though. So to dive deeper into one of these threats, these existential threats, peak television. Peak television is a great competitor to the movies because there is unlimited amounts. We cannot watch the amount of great television out there. I can't keep up with it to the point where it's actually becoming a little frustrating, starting to feel like homework. Yesterday, Joe, you mentioned that Peaky Blinders dropped a new season. Well, okay, well, first I have to catch up on the last three seasons. But before I do that, do I have to watch Succession or finish that? But do I have to finish Stranger Things before that? And then like, there's like 18 other shows that I have to watch, it feels like.
Yeah. I never finished Better Call Saul. I never got through like the next couple seasons of Fargo. It does. It feels – and then like HBO is bringing back Game of Thrones prequels and
– I can't keep up with all this, but what I do have time for in my life is going to a theater once every 2 weeks and sitting down and consuming 2 hours of entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah. It really feels like an experience. As we do in this podcast, we tend to complain about user experiences, but maybe we find some fixes and make a movie going experience better and help save the movie going experience because it's important for everybody.
Joe, I don't know if you've been listening to our podcast, but at the end of every episode, we save whatever it is that we are talking about every single time.
Yeah. For example, we had an episode on Spotify and we laid out some clear things that they could do to do better. And then they did those things, quite honestly. Yes.
They did. Yeah. This pod should be called The Fellas Fix Things.
Yes. It's out of love. It's out of love.
I got to tell you, I'll look to you for that, Joe, because I don't have that much to complain about the movie going experience.
Same.
I really, really adore it. So
let's stop talking about it,
shall we?
Yes, and let's get into it.
The UX of movies. Dave, how do you want to start here?
I want to actually jump into the experience, right? Like, let's start with, we're looking at our phone.
Let's do our user journey.
Yes. Okay. So I'm on my phone. I'm scrolling through Twitter. A promo ad comes up. Hey, it's the new Black Adam trailer. Watch the full trailer now. Which, by the way, I will tell you, I almost never watch a trailer on social media. And social media needs to get better at this. Mm-hmm. They need to stop having their freaking Apple-minded walled garden. Like, I don't want you to leave Instagram. I don't want you to leave Twitter. Because the experience of watching a trailer on their platforms pales in comparison with me going to YouTube.
Right.
Okay. I don't know what it is, but it's like the rotating the screen always gets screwed up and then there's weird pop-ups and it just doesn't work. So I always just immediately exit out of there and I go to YouTube anyway. Boom.
Right.
Look, we're already fixing things. So you watch the trailer. You're like, I want to see this movie. Right. So what's the next step? And they're pretty good about that. I don't know, Joe, you wanted to talk something about advertising, but I think advertising for movies has gotten amazing. Like, I love that they have trailers for trailers. Like, people make jokes about that, but I love it. It gets me excited. You know, I'm still like a little kid. I'm like, ooh, tomorrow.
Give me like teaser trailers. Yeah, I don't have much to complain about. I just know from a user experience, we talked about it starts with advertising. And I think I'd say the only thing I'd say the only thing that, you know, I could complain about advertising is either, and sometimes this is the film's fault. It's either like, the trailer either tells you the entire film or tells you absolutely nothing about the film. One or the other. And, you know,
okay.
Yeah. Good story. Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
Good story, kid.
I've just patted you on the head. all right. So let's go to the point now where we're buying the tickets. All right, Brad, do you want to jump into this?
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, look, I think that this is perfect. They've really refine this to the point of being really, really effective and fairly quickly. I'd say, like, you know, it hasn't really evolved much in the last like 5 to 10 years. And that's because they kind of fixed it early on. So, you know, Fandango, for example, all of them are pretty similar in terms of the UX, right?
Yeah.
You know, select your theater. Now, I do have a little bit to complain about here, but, you know, let's get into that in a second. And then you can like see the map of the seats. I don't need to describe this to our users. We all know what this is like, but it's effective.
Yeah. It's easy.
Click. It's easy and it's effective. And I can see exactly what I'm getting. Now, Dave, you have a complaint here that it's really difficult to navigate by screen size.
Well, yeah, let's pause that for a second and let's say that, Joe, remember we were talking about just different like pain points in other industries, right? And I was saying, like, I recently checked into a hotel and it was like they were typing. I'm like, what are they freaking doing? Just look, there's a bunch of rooms. Like, why can't I just go like I'm at a movie theater and go, yeah, I want a pool view. No, I want a beach view. I want it on the top floor. I want it on the bottom floor. I want, you know, and then just make the selection. And then I just walk up and they give me a key. Like, I don't want to remove their jobs or anything. Like, we still need hospitality folks, but holy shit, what are they typing?
Yeah, I'd go one further. There's really not much of a reason that you need a key. I mean, we can use our smartphones as keys these days.
Huh. Yeah, I was going to say, or even at least get rid of the person. I mean, some people might still want a physical key.
Yeah.
You can just walk up, scan your ID, scan your reservation, and like it can just print. I mean, they have the machines that print cards. You just print a card, take it, and walk away with it.
I kind of like the security of, like, you know, like somebody can't just hack into a room. Like, I don't know. I still like a gatekeeper. Are you the gatekeeper?
No, I'm the keymaster.
Dave still stays at motels with metal keys and a diamond plastic.
You know what I'm I do. And they, you know, I always put the chair up against the door while I sleep. That's how I roll, guys.
What I do is I take a single hair and I tape it across the door frame.
There you go. So callback.
You know, if someone opens the door, I can see if anyone's tampered with my room.
I love it. I love it. Okay, Brad, you wanted to jump into you were bringing back my complaint about this. And yes, I think it can be further refined. Mm-hmm. I think when I want to see a movie, I have very, and this might just be me. This might be a very, this might be an edge case. Okay. So what I want is I want to pick my experience, and then I want the platform to tell me which tickets are available via that experience. So for example, if I'm seeing Top Gun, I need to see it on the biggest screen available. Right. I want to sit in the middle. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I have a certain time of day, probably I want to see it, but that's less important sometimes than just that experience. Mm-hmm. And there's no information on the screens. There's some representation by the seat size, you know, like in comparison, you can kind of figure out, okay, this is a small theater.
It's pretty manual though.
Yeah, right. And what you have to do is you have to pick the time first. You pick the movie and the time, and then you get to see the theater. Right. I don't want that. I wanted to say, basically all I want is a filter, small screen, large screen. That's it. I think that solves the whole thing. And they don't do that. They do that for other things when you're selecting, like, you want food, right? What type of food do you want? You make those selections. What type of prices do you want? You have those little dollar symbols. Mm-hmm. So they need to do something like that. And then you could even do it by, what the hell? What if I like a certain sound system? What if I want dine-in versus not dine-in? What if I want to be able to drink alcohol in the theater? Like, and you should have all these filters. There's no filters when you buy movie tickets.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. What you have to do is you have to go screen by screen, theater by theater, and find the one that works best for you. So it happens frequently where I'll go into a movie that, okay, this is the right time. And then I get into that seat selection screen. And only then can I see that the screen's too small. The theater's too small, right? Yeah, so then I have to go back out and find another theater and yada, 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 yada. Yep. And that's a bit of a pain.
So kind of like when you buy airline tickets, you got like all those, like, when do you want to land? When do you want to depart? First class, round trip. Also, I mean, even without even going into all that, one thing they can fix, because I just went to go look at movie tickets, and there's all these like codes for the screens, like PX, MPX, which I had to go somewhere to look up, like premium experience or
proprietary technology.
Yeah, everybody just scrambled to get eyes in front of the screen. Like, they're coming up with all these cool things, but there's no, like, all they need is like a little key to tell me what like Look Cinema PXs versus AMCs.
And you know, I think a lot of people, it's probably unfair to assume that the general population knows what Dolby Atmos is and why they should care.
Right.
No, I do. And I'm looking for it, but you know, most people don't care about that or look for movies that way. But I do.
But give the option. Give the option. If you don't care, you won't check that box.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So was there anything else here? Because I think it's a pretty perfect experience. And beyond that little nitpick of adding filters, and you know what? Even though they're a sponsor, I don't think I've used Adam Films in a really long time. I will now. So maybe they do this, but Fandango doesn't. MovieTickets.com, as far as I know, doesn't. None of the big theaters do it. Right. So theaters, you, I just gave you a great idea. Make it happen.
Yeah.
Let's get into the theaters, guys. You want to get our popcorn?
Okay. What, so we bought our tickets. It was a fine experience. Now we are in the theater. We are entering the theater, and the first thing that we see is the ticket counter, and I think that's pretty easy now. I hold up my phone, and there's the little QR code, and boom, we're in. And then we are at the concession stand. Now, do you guys get
tickets? Hold on. Do you still get tickets? Some theaters still hand me tickets.
I guess last movie theater I went, kiosk. I didn't even stop. I literally just went right to my seat. I just walked in, walked right to my seat.
Okay. So if you use a little kiosk to buy your tickets at the theater, you know, those screens, I did that a couple of weeks ago with Doctor Strange. And I said that I didn't see all these Marvel movies, but I did see that one. By the way, I went to the Landmark Theater on Pico in Los Angeles, and I happened to go on their last day of existence.
So they just closed, which is
such a shame because it was this beautiful theater, one of my favorite indie theaters, you know. So they're closed, and it was really sad to be there on their last day or close to it.
Nice. Did you take something?
Very somber.
Did you take a tile or a, you know?
No, I took a seat. I took my chair.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, that's good.
Pretty
that's
nice
good.
Seats.
Is that the theater that used to play the Rocky Horror, or is that the one across the street?
Well, the Landmark owns that theater, but that's the New Art Theater on
the New Art's what I'm thinking about. You're down on Pico. I'm still thinking Santa Monica Boulevard.
Yeah, it was at the Westfield Pavilion or whatever it was, which is now being transformed into a Google HQ. So that mall went away, and so the theater's the last man standing.
Okay. Anyhow. So for our friends in Germany who don't care about any of this, right. I'm going to move us along.
That's a good idea.
Well, it is. I mean, you know what? I think anyone who's listened to us talk about movies has some fandom in movies. And there are some iconic things out here in LA, like the Cinerama Dome, which
fair.
Is still in limbo, which hopefully somebody will save that.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair, Joe. I just wanted to move us along.
Let's do it.
But we haven't done that now.
Tried and failed, Dave.
That's the story of my life. All right. Well, moving on. So, Brad, what I was saying is, not through the kiosk. I have done it on my phone, showed them the thing, and they still print out a ticket and hand it to me, which I don't understand.
That's a UX
But that's not everywhere. So, okay. So what are we going to do next? We're in the theaters.
Ask you guys if you get snacks.
I have given in to this, Brad. You know me. I used to be such a cheap bastard.
Used to be.
I still am in a lot of things. But with the movies, I specifically have reminded myself, mm-hmm. I am at a certain salary level now. Uh-huh. I can afford to pay the premium price for this stuff. I realize what's behind the pricing. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that the movie theaters are struggling to survive. They're getting screwed over. They've always been screwed over by the theaters. So that's why they have to jack up. This is how they make their money, mm-hmm. right? They don't make it off the ticket price. They make a little bit off the ticket price, but this is how they make their money. Yeah. So I do pay now and it gets my goat. I hate it. I don't know if that's a phrase, but
I hate it is a phrase. Yes.
No. Yeah. So what about you? What about you, Brad, Joe? Do you guys give in or do you still sneak stuff? I still sneak stuff in too, by the way. I do. Depends how cheap I'm feeling that morning.
All right. Well, this is almost going to sound like a advertisement or a shout out, but I really like the theater that's near my house called Look Cinema in Glendale. They have really good in-seat dining to the point where it's not, I mean, if you go, I know some places you go and if you buy popcorn and a hot dog and something else, you pay like 25. I don't know. It's been so long, but like $20 doesn't seem unreasonable for like a large popcorn soda and a hot dog. I had a spicy chicken sandwich, two Jack Daniels and like sweet potato fries, and that was $40. So I buy concessions at a premium, but I think I can actually get good food, good drink for what I spend.
So you're talking about buying actual food in the theater.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to get to that more. Right. We're going to go into that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was jumping ahead, but you asked me. That's the only time I do it now.
Got it. So you won't go to another theater and just buy snacks. I think that's what Brad's talking about. Popcorn,
not
soda.
Usually. Okay. Popcorn doesn't really blow up my skirt anymore.
Brad?
Well, I don't like that kind of food typically. Like I'm not big on popcorn, and most of my experience at the snack concession stand is pretty poor. I think the quality just isn't there. I do like a good hot dog every now and then. So that's what I'm going to get. That's my snack of choice when I go to a movie, a hot dog. Yeah.
Hard to get that wrong. Yeah. Hard to get a hot dog wrong.
Something nostalgic about a good old hot dog and mustard.
Yeah. I don't like candy. Yeah. I don't like popcorn. I don't like soda. So that kind of leaves me in the lurch for a lot
of our users. I'm kind of the blue collar bloke here. Okay. Yeah. These bougie foodies.
I talked about a hot dog for the last time.
They don't do, that's your obligatory like blue collar. You're like, yeah, I'll give them a fucking hot dog. Maybe make it a corn dog.
Okay. Let's go. You're absolutely right. What I'm actually doing though is smuggling in hand rolls. Like a blue crab hand roll, rice paper. That's
exactly. I got you.
Going with Brad, we've actually set up a hibachi in the theater. It does some Korean barbecue, right between the seats.
I mean, that would be pretty awesome. I wouldn't mind that at all. You know, you guys ever been to Gyukaku? You know, they have these big tables and you cook your own.
Excuse me.
Watch yourself, counselor.
Or a Korean barbecue kind of thing. I think combining a Korean barbecue and a movie theater is a great idea.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Sit around at a little table, like a semicircle table.
There's a million. Feed each other. Yeah. There's a million ideas like this that we can get. I love it. I love those ideas.
Well, let's move us along. Go ahead, Dave.
All right. So we're in the theater now. We're going to find our seat. Okay. Yes. Nothing there, right? It's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could probably illuminate the numbers a little bit better or make them stand out, but whatever.
It's kind of tricky to find your seat. It is. It's not like prohibitory or something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And there's, there's always somebody sitting in there. You got to have that awkward conversation. But I will say, let's stop right there. Mm-hmm. Anybody who is not assigning seats in this day and age, mm-hmm. what are you even doing? Every once in a while, I find a theater that doesn't do that. You got to pick your seats. I'm like, why? Do you guys remember standing in lines and you had to get in the front of the line to get a good seat? It's like, oh my God.
Absolutely, man. I used to do that. I mean, that's how much I would care about these movies is that I would be one of the first in line. I'd be happy.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I would have no problem waiting 45 minutes in a queue so I could get a good seat.
Yeah. In the cold, in the snow. Of course.
Got to hand it to the movies, man. I guess it's because of the competition, the constant threats to the experience, but like they are always evolving that experience. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. How many years ago was it that we had to stand in line? 10 years ago.
Yeah, we don't know. Exactly.
Maybe a little longer, but yeah, it's there. It's funny, like watching like old Seinfeld episodes where like they actually shoot like an entire episode of them just waiting outside the movie theater because it used to be that long of a wait.
All right. So we're in the theater. Mm-hmm. We get in our seats and then the ads come on. Let's talk about the ads.
Somebody help me with this because I want to remember what it's called, because we're not talking about the trailers. We're talking about like the actual like 10 minutes of like they'll do trivia and like what's coming up. I forget what the name of that like package of...
called commercials.
They just do commercials. And that to me is offensive. Commercials in movie theaters breaks the experience. You can't do that. If it's commercials for like, oh, hey, join like, or if it's like, oh, here's the thing. Here's the exception I'll make. Local commercials. Awesome. Makes me feel like I'm in the community. I'm helping out, chipping in. Stuff for the movies, like for that theater. Hey, get your pass or like be a reward member. Fine. But when you start doing things like Geico, blah, blah, blah. No.
Yeah.
Screw you, man.
Yeah. I'll go you one further to tie into the UX of all this. What they're trying to do is to build experiences for the pre-movie show, like beyond commercials. They're trying to do like interactive experiences. Like there's these augmented reality kind of apps. That's a big thing that people are trying to do. I think this is a complete waste of time. And I know people who do this for a living.
Augmented reality in the movie theaters. Explain.
Okay. So you can have your trivia, but use your phone to answer. That's one example.
That'd be fun.
Sometimes that's augmented reality. Video games where you can, you know, move your phone around and, you know, interact with things that are happening in the theater.
Yeah.
I'm just not I'm not a believer that that's going to make it.
Yeah, because there's so many other distractions. Kids are playing their video games. We're swiping on Instagram. I think it's a good idea like 20 years ago if mobile phones that weren't smart and they just did that.
Sure.
Right. I think it's just poorly implemented. Right. I think there was a bunch of those when we went to go see Fast and Furious like a year ago. And it was it was like point your phone at the screen, and then there was like,
no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I was like,
I love technology and I love video games and I love movies. Yeah, I am your target for all that stuff. And no, no, thank you.
Yeah.
If we have assigned seats, like, what is the purpose of spending all that money on ads? Like, nobody's going to the movie theaters 20 minutes early to sit through.
True. Well, no, there are eyes. People do.
Okay.
You know, because they don't want to miss the movie because it's kind of you know what it is? You know what the reason is, Joe? To keep it ambiguous about when the movie starts. So you got to get there. You go, oh, yeah, there's, right? You're like, oh, there's 20 minutes of trailers, but is there? Maybe it's 15. Maybe it's 10.
Maybe it's 40.
It's most likely 40. Yeah.
Long ass time. Go ahead, Dave.
So let's talk about the different types of theaters, okay? Because I think this is important, right? So we have, I still love the kind of village town theater, like these old, like I love that experience. Yeah. I won't go there for a Top Gun. Mm-hmm. You know, I won't go there for a blockbuster, but I'll go there for the smaller film because I know the screens are going to be smaller. Right. But I like the experience. I like that it's locally owned or it's at least a regional chain. I dig that. That's one thing. Another thing is like your big multiplexes, like lots of theaters. Those screen sizes vary, right? Some of them will tell you, and we'll get into this, some of them will tell you they have IMAX. Spoiler alert, they don't.
IMAX.
Exactly. So, you know, there's, of course, let's get into it, IMAX. And oddly enough, we're in Los Angeles, right? There is one IMAX left. Okay. For everybody in Los Angeles who thinks they're going to IMAXs, what's the one IMAX that we have left, guys?
I think there's three.
Nope.
The one in Universal City.
That's it.
AMC Universal City. Let me challenge you on that. I believe Century City also has a true IMAX screen.
I believe
that the bridge at the Howard Hughes Center.
Yeah, that's gone. That's closed.
Well, there's still a theater there. It's just not. It's.
I don't think they have the IMAX yet. We'll look on the map. We'll look on the map. But it's either one or three.
Okay, it's one or three, but not two. Okay. But yes, IMAX is a real experience, and LIMAX is a different experience. And a lot of theaters say that they have IMAX. It's LIMAX.
So exactly.
You guys want to explain what LIMAX is to everybody and how to tell the difference or where to find the difference?
I don't think we should get deep into it, but basically, IMAX has a screen the size of a spaceship, right? There's no mistaking an IMAX there. You walk in and you're like, holy shit. And you're like staring up and you're staring down and it's amazing.
And it's too big. Sometimes it feels like overwhelming. Too big.
Yeah. And the seats go like straight up. It's like vertical, like a hill. Like, so there's, if you have to ask the question what the difference is, you've never been to an IMAX theater.
That's which is possible, possible, right?
Like we could get into the tech specs. I don't know if our users want to hear all that. They can look it up, right? Am I right?
I think what you're talking about is consistency of experience overall, right?
We have
a lot of different experiences, a lot of different types of screens, a lot of different types of theaters. Now, I personally find that charming, However, it's a little bit of a UX challenge, right? Like, I appreciate that. I appreciate those small screen, you know, small theater experiences for certain types of movies. You know, Dave, we went to your hometown, really charming, like old town kind of feel. And they have this ancient theater that's probably 60 years old or more. And we saw a movie there some months ago, and that was great. That was great. Now, I wouldn't want to go see Top Gun there, to your point earlier.
Right.
But for certain types of movies, that's great. So I find it charming that these experiences differ. Mm-hmm. But that's a little bit of a UX challenge, right? Because you want consistency.
Right.
But
well, even in IMAX, let's get into IMAX, because I thought that's what you were talking about. You're talking about the overall experience. Yeah. IMAX, what I think IMAX is doing is they're trying to build a brand. I mean, every company wants to build their brand.
Sure.
So what they're trying to do is they realize that it's impractical to have these monster cinemas, which are amazing everywhere. It's expensive. Not everybody films for it. There's a certain way to film for IMAX that makes it cost prohibitive.
Sure.
So they decided, okay, IMAX, quote unquote, IMAX will equal big screen, awesome sound, amazing experience. But there's a problem there because we know it's like you've given us the real experience. You can't dial it back now. The genie's out of the bottle. I want an IMAX screen. I want the wraparound kind of amazing. I want what the Cinerama Dome thought it was, right?
Oh,
back when it came out. Oh, I know, I know. It has its
charm.
Don't
you dare disparage.
You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. It's like the Cinerama Dome on steroids, an IMAX experience. I still remember seeing Superman, whatever, one of the bad ones. And I remember he catches like an airplane or something in a baseball field. Dude, it felt like I was Superman. It was so amazing. I had to look down.
Yes.
To see.
I guess we saw that in the same theater because I saw that at Universal City. We didn't see it together.
No, I saw this at the Bridge. This is when the Bridge still had the IMAX.
Yeah. I saw it in true IMAX as well. And yeah, quite an experience. Not a great
phenomenal
movie, but I'll stick up for it other than its director. Oh.
Yeah. Here's what they need to do with IMAX. They need to keep the brand and say IMAX light or something that doesn't sound like less, but you know what I mean? Like IMAX, some like plus or minus IMAX minus. And then the true IMAX theaters need to be IMAX plus or something. Just make it so that I don't have to go on some map that somebody made on Google Maps. I don't know if he still keeps up to date, but you know, IMAX, I don't need to do that. Cause it feels like a cheat. It feels like you're trying to get one over on me. And that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's IMAX. We need to get into dining experiences too, which Joe has a lot of experience on. So
before we do that, can we talk about seats?
Yeah. What about? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I have a perspective on movie seats, and I look at the movie going experience like going to church. I don't want to be laying down. You know what I mean? I actually really disagree and don't like the recliner
what?
Kind of experience.
Oh, you're crazy.
It feels a little too much like being at home. I want to sit up. I know I'm in the minority here.
That's
but
the competition, though, Brad. That's why they do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. I love that experience so much. You're crazy.
It's a little too familial. I like a little reverence in my movie going experience and I have my feet propped up. I don't like it. I know.
Yeah, but
know
think about what they're trying to solve. They make the seat go, they're paired in twos now. Mm-hmm. Each person has a cup holder, right? Which has been always, it's the butt of so many stand-up comics jokes, right? Mm-hmm. You have your own cup holder and then you lift the seat up. So your date can be like snuggle with you and you could, you know, and then the seats go all the way back. Like it's just, it's a wonderful experience. I get it. You're clinging to the past. I understand.
Dine-in experience.
Yeah. Let's go ahead with the dine-in experience. Well, but I mean, there's more to talk about there, but like, you know, but I think we've solved it except for the fact that Brad doesn't like it. I mean, the creaky old seats that collapse and fall.
I
mean, and
I certainly don't like uncomfortable movie seats, but I don't want to be too comfortable. I don't want to like be tempted to go to sleep.
We need the Brad spectrum of comfort.
Those chairs are so comfortable that I could easily and sometimes do fall asleep.
Well, I slept through Sonic. My son took me to Sonic
and
I had a little bit to drink or whatever. And I slept through the whole thing.
You didn't miss anything if it's a second one. The first one's pretty good.
Yeah, second one.
The height of movie seat technology, the old sliding metal ones that clang into place.
Right.
Basically throws you back.
They still exist. They still exist. We're going to send Brad only to those theaters so he can remember how good he has it now.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they're going to do reclining seats, there's a problem where it's like you start putting if you want to put your feet up a little bit, then your back starts going back. I'm like, I want to be able to control both. I don't want like, just because I put my feet up, I have to start going back. Like, but you know, it's
they should
be independent a little bit. It's not just like,
you know what I'm looking for, Joe. I want a foot massage. When I put the seat up, I want my feet up in the air and I want somebody to massage my feet, but not too far back because I don't want to upset Brad.
Well, that's a good segue into the dine-in experience, right? Because you know, you're talking about, you know, being waited on. I don't think that the wait staff at these movie theaters are gonna rub your feet unless you're a really great tipper.
It's a different theater. Pee Wee Herman Theater. Nobody gets that joke under 40.
I don't know that we have listeners under 40.
Hey, my son watches every once in a while when I make him. Hey, Joe, you have a lot of experience with this. Why don't you tell us about what you like and don't like about the dine-in movie experience?
At least 10 years when I picked first opened up in Pasadena. I love it. I mean, I also like going on like a Sunday. I'll either wait a couple of weeks for a big movie or I'll go on like a Sunday morning when nobody else is going in LA. Yeah. I basically feel like I have the whole movie to myself and a private wait staff and comfortable seats. And to me, that's worth every penny. And the food has gotten much, much better. I mean, I had coconut chicken strips or, like I said, I had a spicy chicken sandwich the other day. It was actually like spicy. It wasn't like, fast food. It was good.
Now, what about when it's not
real drinks customizable? I try not to go when it's not.
Okay.
I mean, I literally saw Maverick with three other people on a big screen.
So Joe has a very unique use case. And I agree. In your use case, I love the experience because it's like, this is my own house and I'm rich and I have a theater in my house and people sweat on me. I totally get it. And I've had that experience with you. I think we saw like a Mission Impossible together and it was amazing. We were the only ones there. Mm-hmm. But I just recently went to see one of these. I think it was Multiverse of Madness. And I have a problem with the dine-in theater. I love it and I hate it. Okay, here's why I love it. Everything Joe just said, that's why I love it. Why do I hate it? I hate it because I'm selfish. And when I'm being served, it's great. But when somebody else is being served, I'm like, shut up, go away. Like I'm trying to watch the movie, right?
Yep.
And then the other thing is they brought me our meal. I think we got sandwiches and they're burgers. My son and I both had very similar burgers. But the person, they're whispering because they can't yell. And I'm like, which one is which? And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like,
can't see anything.
And you can't see anything. So I'm like, we both guessed on which was our hamburger.
Right.
And I have like, unlike you guys, I have the most unrefined palate like in existence. Like it could have been a hot dog. I wouldn't have known. So it's like there was jalapenos on these, but breaded and the other one had something else. And at the end, I'm like, do we get what we're supposed to get? And neither of us had any idea. And I'm like, I would have liked to know that I was eating my sandwich. So those are my, and there's, you can't light there. They have these little lights next to the seats, which I think are supposed to be that you can use it for instead of your phone, but they don't really work either. And then they're just annoying when you're not eating and looking. So that's me with the dine-in experience. I don't know how you get that right.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you my hot take. I think that this is a bad idea. I don't appreciate the dine-in experience at all. I don't want that for my movie going experience. Now, I get it, but I treat two things extremely seriously in my life: food and movies. I'm very deadly serious about these two things, right?
Yeah.
The experience of eating food is an experience. And, part of that is sensory, meaning I have to see it. If I'm eating good food, part of it is seeing it, smelling it, and tasting it. If you take away one of those senses, you are having a great experience. You're not having full experience. So from that perspective, in my opinion, you might as well just be eating a hot dog, something simple. I don't want like a buffalo chicken salad or, an ahi tuna bowl or something like that, because I'm going to go and enjoy that when I can enjoy it.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
And then can I say that almost split the difference? Because I still think like coconut breaded chicken strips is better than popcorn, but you're not ruining the experience of having like an ahi bowl.
Yeah. Fair. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I don't know how to fix it. I think the experience Joe is having is a great experience.
Yeah.
I don't know how to make that happen when it's busy. So I don't know if it's possible. I get it. Cause you're like, you don't want to enjoy something awesome while you're watching something awesome. It's too much awesome. It's kind of like the seats. They're too comfortable for Brad. You got to go right down the lane with Brad.
Straight down the line.
All right, fine. Fair. Let's get out of the dining theater because Brad hates it. We don't want to be there. Joe,
I don't hate it. I just don't think it's a good
idea. I'll meet you back here in an hour, Joe.
Right.
Buy me a drink. So let's go on to like the screens. Let's talk about the screens. Let's talk about the audio. Let's talk about the actual experience of watching the movies. And I think this is it, right? And then we can move on to some other stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's compare and contrast against at home, right? A lot of people are getting bigger and bigger screens, better and better sound systems, right?
Sure.
You don't have to be rich anymore to have a movie theater experience in your house.
Okay.
Do you think, and Brad, you're one of these people that have a great situation in your house, right? Am I wrong there? Okay.
I have a pretty good setup. Yep.
Does that situation stop you from going to a lot of movies because you're like, why get out of my seat? Because I have friends that are like this and they say, yeah, I never go to theaters anymore because why?
Well, yes, it does. So there's only a certain type of movie that I'm really, really motivated to see in a theater now. And this is not great for movies, but you know, it's Top Gun. That's the theatrical experience. Yeah. And most other things, I can see at home with a better experience.
How's
I still
it
prefer
better?
The format, you know, I
how's it better?
Movie format.
Let's stop there. How's it better?
How is what better?
Watching at home, because we just went on about how amazing the movie theater experience is and how serious you take it.
Yeah.
And you're in it. It's a dark room. Like you're watching with a bunch of people. It's communal. Sure. Like,
yeah,
how is it better being at home?
It's time management, really. Mm-hmm. You know, going to the movies is an event. It used to be not an event for me, probably for all of us, and maybe for younger people, it was a commonplace occurrence. So you go to the movies every week or whatever. Now I can't do that. I've got a family, I've got a demanding job, I've got all this other stuff going on. So I do not have the option to go to the theater every week. But I can watch something, you know, most nights, you know, in my comfortable.
So too bad we don't have a younger person on this pod who could give their, another persona, if you will.
Like I'm not sure if you're 17 years old, what your relationship is to the movies. I'd be curious to, you know, find out.
I don't think they have the time either. Like, I mean, like you talked about last week in the not news, TikTok is consuming
their
brains.
Minutes of content is consumed on TikTok.
I can't even get my kids to watch a movie on the screen. Like I've been trying to get, my son wants to see the Time to Die.
Yeah.
We watched the intro, we ate dinner, and then he's like, no, I got other stuff to do. And I tried last night and I tried again. Yeah, what other stuff? He's watching YouTube, he's made memes.
I do think that that's a shame, and the theatrical experience will change to probably for the worse, only being for these, you know, really huge experiences.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a shame.
I would say the home experience, I mean, doesn't take much to have a 70-inch screen, Dolby Atmos at home, and you don't have to park. I think parking and
in
you
LA,
know.
Yeah, especially.
But I'm going to push back, Brett, Joe, and Brad. Yeah. Like you guys both say how good the movie theater experience is, right? And it's very specific, and you love it, and you don't want to be interrupted with good food, Brad, right?
or comfortable seats.
But you want the ability to be sitting in your house and pause so you can go take a leak, or pause and go mix another drink, right? So it's like, why can't you have that in the dine-in experience? To Joe's point, like you know what I mean. Like I think you're just not giving the dine-in experience a fair shake, Brad. I think we need to go to a dine-in theater where the stakes aren't as high, right? I'm talking about we're not watching a Top Gun. Maybe we're watching a smaller indie film, you know, like Knives Out Part 2, whenever that comes out, and we can get you know and have fun with it. And it's like you know you're missing the bit of dialogue, but you would have missed that if you ran to the bathroom. I don't know.
Yeah, so maybe I should relax a little bit, is what you're saying. Yeah,
exactly.
That's great advice for me all around. I mean, I've heard constantly for the past 30 years of my life. So yeah, you're not wrong about that.
Yeah. Put the chair back, Brad. Have some an ahi bowl.
Ease and up
just,
a bit.
Just enjoy it, man. Just enjoy it.
Oh, by the way, I should mention that I would also go to the theaters for certain filmmakers. And really, we don't have those auteurs nearly as often anymore, which is a shame. But I'll still go and see a Paul Thomas Anderson movie in
there
the
you
theater.
Go. Nice. Sure. Nice.
Anyhow,
okay,
let's keep
guys.
On moving.
Yeah, this is running long. I just want to say, I'm getting anxious.
What? An episode of the Sucks podcast is running long?
So, what are we moving on to now? Are we going to wrap it up? Or
we have to talk about cost.
Okay.
We have to talk about cost.
Okay.
So, the cost of going to a cinema is a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So, Dave, you're a cheap bastard.
I am a cheap bastard.
How do you rectify
that? Yeah, and especially, no, this is a great point, Brad, because we have a difference of an opinion here on buying at home versus at the theater. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Let me lead into it with this. I've got, I'm not going just myself anymore. So the cost is a consideration. I got four people, got a family of four. So yes.
What does it cost you to go to the movies?
Oh, geez. I mean, easily, you know, if you're doing $10 a ticket, you know, I go to the matinees.
$10 a ticket.
You got to go to the matinees. So if you don't go to the matinees, what are you talking? $15 a ticket? Right?
20,
so,
22 sometime.
I don't live in the city anymore, fellas. I would never pay $20 for a ticket. Is it IMAX? Like maybe then, right? So let's call 15. So we were already at $60 just to get in the door. And you know, then if we don't sneak candy in, you're spending another $40. So it's about $100. You're lucky if you get away with $100, and that's without going crazy. So we're talking about $100, right? Versus streaming on your couch, which this is the thing that I laugh at myself for, and I know I'm not the only one, even though Brad will argue here, but this is what I can't understand about myself. It's like a new movie will come out when they did those day and date situations during the pandemic. And yeah. it's like, hey, $30 to watch this movie. And I go, nope. There's something about, and maybe it's because I don't have a 70-inch screen, guys. I'm still stuck with like the smaller big screens. Like when I got this on Black Friday, like 15 years ago, it was like the biggest thing in the world. Like okay. it's not a big screen. So I think okay. maybe that will change once I jump into the future. But for now, and for anybody who doesn't have a huge, huge screen, I think it's like, it just seems like it's not, you're not getting the experience. You're getting the movie, sure. But mm-hmm. for me, I'm like, I could wait until it's streaming in 30 days or whatever it is, you know, like I don't really right. need to see it that badly. And if I do need to see it that badly, I want to see it in the theater and spend okay. $100.
Yeah.
Fair?
What's I guess fair? So, but I guess $30 versus $100 is a no brainer for me if I want to see this movie. But I get your point, especially with the theatrical window shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. I think it's down to what, 6 weeks now? Like there's really not a whole lot of risk. Right. There's really not a whole lot of impetus to spend that $30 knowing that it's going to be a matter of weeks before you can get it without spending $30. So I get you there, but if it's something that you have to be part of the conversation, you have to like see a film when it comes out,
yeah.
then water I cooler, have no qualms film. Whatsoever about spending $30.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. I get it.
But okay. to finalize everything, I think we said, you know, we do have good screens and good home sound. And it's funny because you almost get kind of accustomed to it. You're like, oh yeah, 70 inches, whatever. Like, go to the theater and you're like, whoa, it's nice to be in a theater again. And yeah. like, you know, 40-foot screen and go, and I am in the sound. Like, it's yeah, yeah, worth yeah. it. That really is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. We like to pretend that our screens at home are an equal experience. But you're right, Joe. They're not.
They're totally
absolutely not.
Even if you have a great setup, you know. Mm-hmm. Even if you have like a rich guy set up.
Yeah, even if you're a millionaire.
Screening room, yeah, you know.
It's not the same. Where right. do we want to end this? How do we want to wrap it up?
The movies. People should go to the movies.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, like I just said, there's nothing like it. No matter how big your home screen is, no matter how good your audio system is, sitting in that seat, 40-foot screen, just don't remember it's out there and go. It's worth it.
It's deeply personal for me. I think for all yeah. of us, the movies are deeply personal, the three of us, maybe not everyone listening.
Right.
But yeah, I take it really seriously and go to the theater. And you do have to support your local theaters, the small theaters. Find a room for them. And for Top Gun Maverick, see it on the biggest, fanciest, loudest screen possible. What yeah. a great movie that is.
Yeah. I think, Brad, I think to wrap this up, I think mm-hmm. since we're trying to fix things, right? Yes. Since that's what okay. we do, we don't want to just complain about the experiences or say what we like. Theaters need to find a way to make that experience, to brand that experience. You are going for the experience. So I don't know if that means yep. less small theaters in your multiplexes, mm-hmm. better sound systems. Mm-hmm. Like they just need to like go up. Like I think the IMAX experience, find a way to make that less cost prohibitive. Make sure. That the experience. Make add the dine-in experience with the regular experience. Maybe you have your balcony at the top, right? And that's where you pay the premium price. You get wait service.
Right. Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, so people, maybe let's dress up and go to the theaters again, like you do for Broadway, you know? They got to find a way to make yeah. it an event. And right. and the more they do that, the more people will go and they'll take time. I don't think the movies are going to die. I think they'll exist in some form.
And it is going to become more and more of an event type thing.
Yes, like
people are going to go see event movies. And then I don't have an answer for this, but there is something that we can do with all these other theaters. There's something that's interesting that you can put on these screens that are going to get people into smaller mm-hmm. theaters or mm-hmm. more mm-hmm. theaters. I don't know what it is. Like they did these streaming events for a while. I think they
simulcast stuff.
Yeah, where they'll show concerts. Like concerts and
yeah,
stuff like that.
That's pretty cool.
Like that. Oh, maybe go see like UFC fights there. Like,
ooh, yes,
like pay, instead of like buying, like, you know,
pay-per-view. That's a good idea.
Yeah, like you kind of like contribute to a.
And then all your dine-in stuff is even more fun. Yeah, what about like events?
Super Bowl. Why wouldn't you go to the theater yeah. to watch the Super Bowl? You know, that could be fun.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyhow.
Well, I think we did it, guys. I think we fixed movies. I think we mm-hmm. solved for it. I think we're going to keep people going to theaters. What do you think, Brad?
I think we single-handedly saved the experience and they should pay us millions of dollars, the movies. Of course, we've all thought that for many, many years.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they're not paying you? They're paying me, Brad.
I think Joe's the person that they're paying right now.
Indeed. That
is our episode. Thank you all so much for listening to the Sucks Podcast. We are wishing you health, a well-designed life, and good experiences. Go to the movies. We'll be right back.
Jack. Let's see. Let's go, Jack. Give me another Jack line. Give me some Jack lines.
I'd like you to hold it between your knees.
I'd like it. Does he say that?